Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth says when you're in an emotionally dry place, take some practical steps.
Remember the presence of God, review the purposes of God, rehearse the promises of God, receive the provision of God, and then rejoice in the plan of God.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Revive My Heart, for August 28th, 2025. I'm Dana Grash. Well, for the last couple of weeks, we've been in a series called Walking Through Life's Deserts. If you missed any, you can catch up by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Today, we'll learn some survival skills. What are the first things you need to do when you enter your next desert? Here's Nancy.
Well, we spent these last couple of weeks talking about the desert. The fact that we all have desert experiences, you may be in one right now, and I hope if you are that God has given you some hope and some encouragement, perhaps some perspective. It helps to get perspective when you're in the desert to realize this is not because God hates me, it's not because God's mad at me, it's because God loves me, and that God has a purpose and a plan for my life in the desert. I think it was the first series that we ever aired on Revive Our Hearts was a similar series on the desert. And after that series, I heard from a young couple, a professional couple. They were starting a business. They were newly married, and they were under a lot of pressure. And someone sent them a CD of this series, that first series that we aired on the deserts. And they said they listened to it. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know about Revive Our Hearts, but they listened to that series on the desert as they were on a trip somewhere. And they said, you will never know how much we needed that series right then in our lives. And God used that truth in the lives of that husband and wife, that young couple, at a real critical desert time in their lives to give them perspective, to give them hope, to encourage them. So I hope this series has done that for you. And if you have felt like this is a series you didn't relate to, just hang on. You will. There will be desert experiences in your life as there are in all of our lives. We've talked about why God sends us into the desert and what God's purposes are in the desert and ways that we can respond to the desert. But I want to bring this series to a close by talking about how to survive in the desert. In fact, I want to do one better than that. Not just how to survive in the desert, but how to thrive in the desert. And I want us to remind ourselves, and let me say, sometimes when I'm teaching these things, you must think that this is all easy for me to live. I'll just assure you it's not. Often when I'm sitting here teaching, I am preaching myself under conviction. I'm counseling my own heart with the truth. And that's why I love my job. I love what I get to do because I need this truth. And I need to keep preaching the gospel to myself, the good news about God's ways and God's purposes and Christ's redeeming love and grace in my life. I need to hear that. So when I teach these things to you, I'm really thinking about my own deserts, the challenges in my own life. I don't know about your deserts, but I know something about mine. And I have learned that it really is possible not only to survive in the desert, but to thrive in the desert. So I want to give you five things that will help you survive and thrive in the desert. And it's really just kind of putting a bow around what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, tying it together. Number one, remember the presence of God. When you're in the desert, remember the presence of God. I think maybe the five most encouraging words in all of God's words, certainly five words that are repeated more often than almost any others, I will be with you. Or four words, I am with you. I will be with you. I am with you. The promised presence of God. You know, over and over again in the scripture, when God's men or women were afraid in the face of dangerous circumstances, hopeless circumstances, impossible tasks, God said, don't be afraid, I will be with you. Don't be afraid, I am with you. Over and over again, and it's as if God was saying, that's all the answer you need. And we're wanting more answer than that. We're wanting to say, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to get me out of this? How are you going to provide? How are you going to give me water in my wilderness? How are you going to bring food? How are you going to bring this? How are you going to solve that? And God says, I'm not going to give you all those answers. All you need to know is I am with you. I'm with you now, and I will be with you each step of the way through this desert. As I've been working through this series on the deserts, I've been so encouraged by scriptures that talk about God's presence with us and his provision for us in the midst of the deserts. Think about that passage in Exodus 13, where the children of Israel were in the desert. God had led them into the wilderness. And it says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. What were the cloud and the fire? Was it just meteorological phenomena? It was the presence of God. Now, they had the visible presence of God, and we think, oh, if I could just have that pillar of cloud or that pillar of fire, well, then I could trust God. Well, the Israelites didn't. But we have something better. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Christ in us. I am with you always. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever he calls you to walk through, whatever the challenge, whatever the hurdle, whatever the difficulty, however prolonged the desert, remember the presence of God. And then number two, review the purposes of God. As you're in your desert, review the purposes of God. We talked about several of them in this series. Let me just run through them. Once God sends us into the desert to test us, to humble us, to teach us. He sends us into the desert to develop faith, to strengthen our faith muscles, and to make us dependent on him rather than on ourselves or others. He's stripping us of self-reliance. He sends us into the desert to prepare us for future ministry and service. He sends us into the desert to build endurance, to condition us for future battles. And he sends us into the desert to show us his glory and his grace, and then to get us to Jesus. As you're in your desert, review the purposes of God. It'll help your perspective to remember that God does have a purpose in this. Even if I'm not sure what that purpose is at this moment in this situation, God does have a purpose. Review his purposes. And then number three, rehearse the promises of God. Rehearse the promises of God. Let me just read to you some promises that have been a mainstay in my life through many different desert experiences. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. Rehearse God's promises. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Rehearse God's promises. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I find myself at times when I'm discouraged or disheartened or fearful or overwhelmed with my desert, just sometimes going to God's word and reading these promises aloud. Read them, rehearse them. Psalm 93, I love this one. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. You ever find yourself there? Maybe it's not a desert, it's a storm. Here's the promise. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And I rehearse God's promises, and my heart is strengthened. I am encouraged. These waves are mighty, but God is mightier yet. He is bigger than these waves. He is greater. He is in control. Psalm 91, wonderful promises of God in this passage that have brought hope and encouragement to the hearts of so many of God's children in their desert experiences. Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And all the way through God's word, there are promises. Promises for God's children in distress. Promises for God's children when they are overwhelmed. Promises for God's children when they feel helpless and hopeless. They have nowhere to turn, no hope, no resources of their own. Rehearse the promises of God. And remember that God keeps his word. God is faithful. Sometimes when I'm in my distress, I just think back on past times when I was in distress. And I think about how faithful God was, how he kept his promises. God has never failed to keep his word. Never. And I tell myself, he's not going to start now. Not only has he been faithful to me, but he's been faithful to everybody else I know. And I go to God's word and I find other people, scores of them who found God's promises to be true. Rehearse them. Rehearse God's promises and believe them. And then number four, receive the provision of God. If you want to not only survive, but thrive in your desert, receive the provision of God. God took the children of Israel into the desert. God took his son Jesus into the desert. We saw earlier in the series that the desert is a place of hardship, a place of deprivation. There are times when you do without. The Israelites faced times where they had no water. They had no food. They needed protection from the enemies. But every time, God provided. The Israelites just had to receive God's provision. God has a provision for you in your desert. And it may be supernatural. You say, well, that's those days. Has God changed? If God needs to send ravens to bring bread to you in your hungry times, as he did for Elijah in that time of drought, God can send ravens. God's big enough to do that. Now, I'm not saying that's his normal way of providing. That wasn't his normal way of providing for Elijah. But God can provide however he wants, and God will provide for you in your desert if you'll receive his provision. So Deuteronomy 29, God says, during the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet. That was miraculous. You say, we don't have money to buy clothes for our kids. How are they going to last? Well, God can make those clothes last longer, or he can provide new clothes or old clothes or plenty of clothes or from some means, from some source that you may have never dreamed would be a possibility. So go back and think about how God provided for the Israelites water and bread and meat and protection and shoes and clothes, all that they needed. Receive God's provision. Jesus was with the wild animals in his desert, Mark 1 tells us. Not only did God protect him somehow miraculously from those animals, but Mark 1 gives us this little detail, and the angels were ministering to him. Some of your translations say angels attended him. Angels attended him. Now, I don't know if Jesus could see those angels. I don't know if he could hear them. I don't know if they talked to him. They could have. God did sometimes send angels to make visible appearances and to talk. I don't know how they ministered to him, but I know they did. You say, well, that was Jesus. I'm me. Here's the wonderful thing. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that angels were not only sent to minister to Jesus, but they're sent to minister to us. Hebrews 1, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? It's the same word used there when it says they're ministering angels sent to serve. It's the same word used in Mark 1 that says the angels ministered to Jesus. They attended him. It's a word that means to serve, to wait upon someone, to meet someone else's needs. Like a waiter comes to your table and serves you your meal. He gets you what you need, gets you what you don't have. Angels attended Jesus. They waited on him in the desert. And Hebrews 1 says, God sends angels to attend to us, to wait on us. Now, we have a lot of talk about angels today, a lot of foolish and unbiblical talk about angels today. But in rejecting that teaching, we don't want to miss out on the true teaching of God's word that angels are real and God sends them as messengers to serve his people. I've never seen an angel as far as I know. And I've never heard an angel speak as far as I know. But I know as sure as I'm sitting here that many, many times in my life, God has sent angels to attend to my needs. They've come in many forms. I think most of the time I've had no clue that it was an angel or that it was angelic provision. I don't know how God does this. And if I say anything more than what I just said, I'm going to be in trouble because we're in the realm of mystery here. God hasn't revealed to us how he does this, but I know he does. And I receive God's ministry of angels in my life. And at times when I feel like there is no one else that can meet needs, no other source of my needs being met, I lift my eyes up to the Lord and my heart says, Lord, I know if nothing else, your angels will be here to minister to my needs. And God does lift my heart. He lifts my spirit. He redirects my thinking. He ministers to my needs, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And I believe sometimes he uses his angels to do that. Regardless of how he provides, we can all say, all I've needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I sing that hymn over and over and over again. When my heart is heavy, when my heart is discouraged, when I'm weary in my desert, when I'm tired of plodding through the desert, when I can't see an end to the desert, I sing all I have needed. Lord, as I look back, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Receive God's provision. And then finally, rejoice in the plan of God. Remember the presence of God, review the purposes of God, rehearse the promises of God, receive the provision of God, and then rejoice in the plan of God. Let me say two things about that. First of all, rejoice that the desert is not forever. It may seem like it's forever, but it's not. The desert that you're in right now, or the desert that you will be in next, is not the end of the journey. It's not the final destination. It's en route to the final destination. I've spent a lot of time over the years in airports waiting to make a connection from one city to the next. That airport, there's nothing I love about airports. I mean, they all look the same. But it helps me to know that this isn't my final destination most nights. Now, there have been a few times when I ended up spending the night in the airport probably over the years, but generally that's not your final destination. And even if you spend a night there, presumably by the next day you're going to be at your destination. So if you thought that airport with those hard seats and that horrible food was your final destination, you'd be pretty discouraged. If you thought this desert was your final destination, you'd be pretty discouraged. Cheer up. Rejoice in the plan of God. The desert is not forever. It's not the end of the journey. A friend wrote to me recently about an incredible battle that she has experienced over a period of years with an area of sexual temptation. She's a woman who loves the Lord, but she opened her life early on when she was a younger woman to some areas, stepped over some lines she should not have, and as a result, she experiences at times intense temptation in some moral areas. And she just wants to know what God wants to teach her in this desert and how to not only survive, but thrive in this desert. And I wrote back to her as I was working on this series, I was thinking about this, and I said, just remember, no desert is forever. One day, I said, only a moment from now in the light of eternity, all this will be behind us. No more struggle, no more temptation, no more sin, no more twisted thinking, no more deception, no more falling. She talked about the discouragement of how often she falls in this area. Just think, now this isn't the only thing I would say to this woman, but it's one thing we need to remind ourselves of. Remember that it's not forever. No more falling, only eternal rewards for faithfully pressing on and pursuing him through the deserts. Keep your eyes on that. It'll encourage your heart when you're in your desert to remember that it's not forever. And then rejoice in the plan of God that one day he has promised that he will turn the desert into a garden. The desert will not always look like it does. One day it will bloom. It will blossom. I think of some of those cities in California. You know, parts of California and other parts, desert-like terrains, were not meant to be inhabited, I don't think. The terrain is just so rough, and nothing can live. And people don't survive well in true desert environments. You have to have water. You can't live without water. But there are some of those places in the California desert where, through means of an aqueduct, they have brought water in, and the desert has been transformed into a garden. Somebody sent me a picture on the through email the other day while I was working on this. It was this gorgeous photo of a valley about 50 miles east of Bakersfield, California. It's a desert valley, but it had rained, and that valley was just covered with these gorgeous wild flowers. Beautiful, beautiful colors. What a picture. I wish I could show it to you. Just picture it in your mind and know that your desert is dry and arid and barren as it seems right now. When God sends the water of His Spirit in His time to water that desert, it will become a garden, something of great beauty. So exercise faith. And here's the way God's Word says it in Isaiah chapter 41. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Ladies, He will not forsake you in your desert. I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, God says, and the dry land springs of water. And what's the purpose? That they may see and know, may consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. And someday when our lives are blossoming in all their intended fullness, and for all of eternity the desert is behind us, and we live in that forever blooming and blossoming and beautiful garden of the presence of God, Eden restored, we will look around and we will say, God has done this. Isn't God great? Isn't He good? He's merciful. He led me all the way through that wilderness. And now for all eternity, I get to enjoy the fruit of what He taught me there in the desert.
Oh, what incredible hope. So many people enter the desert, which just means they enter difficult, emotionally dry times, and they don't survive. They get lost. They become bitter or angry. But Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has given hope that the next time you enter the desert, you can not only survive, but grow and thrive. She'll be right back to pray that your desert will bloom. Now, maybe you've been in the desert for a while and you're feeling weary. When you can't take another step, let God carry you and sit in the healing balm of His Word. Pastor Paul Touches points you to the God of all comfort in a small book for the hurting heart. Receive your copy as our thanks for your donation of any amount this month. You can give by visiting reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. When you do, be sure to request your book so we can send that your way. Now, if you're in a dry season and you'd like someone to pray for you, then we'd love for you to submit a prayer request at reviveourhearts.com/prayer. One of our team members will receive that request and pray for you by name. It would be a privilege to come alongside you in the desert. Again, you can submit a request at reviveourhearts.com/prayer. Be sure to join us tomorrow as Aaron Davis and Jannie Ortland talk about supporting suffering friends. Now, Nancy's back to pray.
Oh, Father, I pray that You would encourage some woman who's listening, who's discouraged, and she's wanted to give up, wanted to throw in the towel. And Lord, I have felt that so many times myself, even in this ministry. There have been so many times of being tempted to give up. But I thank You that You have purpose in the desert, and I pray that You would strengthen and encourage the heart of that one who's walking through a desert today. That she would remember Your presence. She would review Your purposes. Help her to rehearse Your promises and to believe them. Help her to receive Your provision. And then help us, Lord, all to rejoice in Your wonderful plan. plan and the promise that one day the desert will blossom. It will bloom forever. And all will see and know and consider and understand that God has done this. May you be glorified in our lives, even when we're in the midst of the desert. Help us not only to survive the desert, but to thrive in it. That Jesus may be magnified through our lives. And we pray in His great name. Amen.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.